से वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Psalm Canto 6, Chapter 14, Text 55, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya Viscount. Let us die in the lifetime of his son, and that his son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruitive activity. However, if fruitive activity is so strong that birth and death depend upon it, there is no need of a controller or a god. Again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, one may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruitive action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. Purport, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Karmarni Nirjati Kintuja Bhakti Bhajam. One who has taken to Krishna consciousness devotional service is not affected by the results of karma. In this verse, karma has been stressed on the base of Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which says that one must act according to his karma, and that a supreme controller must give the results of karma. The subtle laws of karma, which are controlled by the supreme, cannot be understood by ordinary conditioned souls. Therefore, Krishna says that one who can understand him and how he is acting, controlling everything by subtle laws, immediately becomes freed by his grace. That is the statement of Brahma Samhita, Karmarni Nirjahati Kintuja Bhakti Bhajam. One should take the devotional service without reservations and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord. That will make one happy in this life and the next. Hear the word or the compound word is used. Sneha Bhasha. The bondage or the ropes of affection. Now here, Queen is speaking. Saying, she's glorifying the Sneha Bhasha, the rope of mundane affection, that this is the most important thing, and she is decrying Vidhata, which means providence or God, or sometimes Lord Brahma is called Vidhata, one who sees how things are going on. She's blaming him because she's saying that what kind of a God are you? We're supposed to be enjoying ourselves within this material world. We have this feeling of love. This is the topmost thing. But you are simply breaking it. Then what kind of God are you? Why should we believe in you? Now this word Sneha Pasha is used elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. Does anyone know that verse? Can anyone think of it?
Which one?
Sneha Pasha. That's it? Is it yours there also? I was thinking.
I was just asking.
No. Anyone know? Sneha Pasha Imam Chindhi Dira Vishnishu Pandushu. Queen Kunti says, she's praying to Krishna, please cut the ropes of affection which I have for the Vrishnis and the Pandavas. My family side, both sides. Father's family and the family she wedded into. So she's asking for that to be cut because she realizes that these ropes of material affection, they are illusory and they are obstacles in the path of developing the real affection that we should have for Krishna. Now this love in the material world or affection in the material world, that is a perverted reflection of love for Krishna, which is very powerful. Love of Krishna is more powerful than Krishna himself. More powerful than God. Does that make any sense? How can anything be more powerful than God? But God himself submits himself to the love of his devotees. Now we're celebrating the Kartik month. Gopi Chand was asking, what is the significance? The significance is the pastimes of Krishna, not so much, alright, Mother Yashoda tied up Krishna, but what is the purport of that? Prasadam Labhiri Gopi. This mercy that Mother Yashoda achieved, Natha Prabhavi Muktida, is not achieved, she was achieved from Krishna. Mercy that Nimam Varunchana Bhavo, Nashri Rakyanga Samshoya, Prasadam Nagire Gopi, Natta Prabhavi Muktidat, that Shukadev Goswami, in the middle of his narration of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, telling the story, he himself comments with wonder that how is it that Mother Yashoda, she has received more mercy than even Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva or even Lakshmi, who is always connected, she's the better half, Ardangini, she's the wife of Narayana. But even she did not get as much mercy as Yashoda got. Yashoda could bind Krishna, who cannot be bound by the yogis, they cannot catch him. The yogis are chasing. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambradam yovayora tapi manaso munik pungavanam sopyasti apavadasinya in chintya tatvi. Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The yogis, running at the speed of mind for many thousands of lifetimes, they cannot catch Krishna because he is avichintya tattva. Even though they have very sharp discriminating intelligence, which is developed by performing austerities and becoming detached from gross sense gratification, the yogis cannot understand Krishna. They're trying, running after him on the chariots of their minds, which cannot catch. But Mother Yashoda, she caught Krishna. She ran after Krishna. And Krishna cannot be caught, but she caught him and she tied him up. Even though he was shown, you can't tie me up. Bring all the rope in the house. That won't tie me up. Bring all the rope in all the other houses. That also won't tie him up. But eventually, seeing Mother Yashoda's frustrated condition, I want to tie up my son. He agreed to be tied up. Bhakti badham, that's here. Sneha pasham means the rope of material affection, and just the opposite of that is bhakti badham. We're singing in Damodar Ashrakam. Bhakti badham. He's bound up, Krishna is bound up by the ropes of bhakti, pure love for him. So this is the difference between the sneha pasha, the bonds of material affection, and that of love for Krishna. One who has got material affection, because it's very strong, it's a perverted reflection of the original love of the devotees for Krishna. It's very strong and powerful people, very strong and powerful motive, emotion, and people take it to, this is the highest, this is the most wonderful thing. Love, what is more high than love? It's true, what is more high than love? But love in this material world is always the cause of suffering. Here, nahi kramachit yaha mrityu janmano, in speaking that there is a chronological order generally accepted of birth and death. Generally it's understood that the father dies before the child and not vice versa. That is the normal. Generally you expect that the parents will die before the child. That is the crumb, that is the normal chronological order by which that takes place. But foolishly, the queen of Chitraketu didn't think that, well, even if it hears nahi krama, even if it's against the accepted order, still, whether the father dies before the son or the son dies before the father, jatasya hi dhruva mrityu, dhruvam janma mitasya, whoever is born, they must die. So she's blaming Vidhata, she's blaming the creator. That what kind of creator are you that is, you're taking the child away before? We should have lived in our old age to see this is the ambition of materialistic people. Nowadays it's just ati ugra Sanskrit. It's just grossly gross, hyper gross sense gratification. But otherwise, normally materialistic people, they like to see, I've got my family, they'll grow up, they like to see my sons, they will also have sons, And if they can see their sons, then they'll be very happy. It's considered the perfection of material life to see your offspring spring off more offspring and offspringing generation after generation sprung from their loins. So they don't consider that even if you live to see your great-grandchildren or even your great-great-grandchildren, sometimes I've seen them in Bengal, because the women, they start having babies at 14, and then if they live to be 90, then you can get in a few generations. You can get to see a few generations. So this is considered very respectable and honorable. They don't consider that even if you live to see your great-great-grandchildren, then still you have to die. So that she's blaming the Creator that you've broken this bond of affection. They don't consider that along with creation comes destruction. That is the nature of this material world. That the body that is created, that will be destroyed. So the robe of affection, whether it's broken now or it's broken later, it's going to be broken. Therefore, love within this material world, it is always the cause of suffering. Because it's always broken off. At least in that way it's the cause of suffering. It may be the cause of suffering in other ways. Yesterday in the manor I was reading, Lord Shiva was telling Sati that when someone who is very close to you and affectionate to you, someone you expect affection from, when they speak harsh words to you, that hurts more than the arrows of enemies. The arrows of enemies are certainly painful, but that can be tolerated. You expect that from enemies. That they'll shoot you, or either physically with arrows or with some rough words. That we expect. But when someone we go to for love rejects us, that is more painful. We see also Dhruva Maharaj, young boy, he was stung, he was hurt, that his father rejected him. And this is more painful. That happens also. That we see there. But now that's come to be accepted. That old people, they are practically rejected by their sons and daughters there. When they can no longer serve their children, and their children don't want to serve them in their old age, just stick them up in some old age home. So this is a whole cycle in the modern age of no affection. The parents, they hardly have affection for their children. They're more interested in working, earning more money, let the kids come home, take something out of the freezer, stick it in the microwave and watch something on TV and go out and stand and mug someone, let them do whatever they like. And then they grow older and children, they don't expect, the parents, they no longer expect even the children to have any affection for them in their old age. So this total lack of material affection, that's also not good. There should be some material affection. Just on the platform of human civilization, there should be some affection. Otherwise, we see at the end of Kali Yuga, the situation is that people have children just to eat them. Nice, soft flesh, free. So this is because there's no affection. And they're thinking that, well, you know, one meat, another meat, it's all the same thing. It's all good food, nourishing, full of vitamins. So, no affection. So, some affection is required to make the human society go on. Or even animal society, that affection is given. That is the gift of Maya to make it go on. But at the same time, gift of Maya means it's Maya, it's illusion. It's that affection that one feels, one must ultimately to come to the platform of real affection, the material affection that one feels, to come to the platform of real affection. Then we have to pray like Kunti prays. Snehavash Pashavimang Chindhi Jura Pandashu Krishnashu Let me cut the bonds of affection. Please, you cut the bonds of affection that I have. Now, she was saying that, but at the same time, she never thought to leave her family because her social position was within the family. Even she was in the palace, she was there with Dhritarashtra, the Kauravas. She was there in the palace under the bad protection for so much time, 13 years. But she never thought that now I have to leave home, become a sannyasini, because her particular position in the body of a woman was to act in such a way that she remains within the family and at the same time cultivates Krishna consciousness. But a sannyasi, traditionally sannyasis, that's it. They're dead. Someone takes sannyas, they're dead and finished. As far as they're considered civilly dead, they're not supposed to go back to their home. In the marriage ceremony, in the Vedic marriage ceremony, they do a little drama that they offer the boy who's about to be married, that someone comes and says, hey, you know, you're going to get married, don't do that, that's all maya. Why don't you just leave home and become a sannyasi? So he says, okay, and he starts walking off. And then someone else comes and says, no, you should do your duty and look after your family. He says, okay, and then he comes back again. It doesn't take much convincing. But if someone was to say, yes, you're right, this is complete maya, I'm leaving, and that was it, it's gone. No coming back. Gore na jai bo vane praveshi bo oli la rasha ratare, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. I won't go back to my home. I'm going to the forest of Vrindavan for the sake of that rasa, that experience of Krishna consciousness, of seeing Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. So that is ultimately required, and one has to be free from all material affection. However, material affection is very strong, and unless we have developed the firm resolve to make our relationship with Krishna, if we, out of sentiment or out of imagined full sense of renunciation, if someone is to immediately just give up everything, but they're not fixed in Krishna consciousness, if they're to give up all their family affection and everything, then the danger is that they fall back down again. They become vantashi. The sannyasi who goes back to his family is considered to have eaten his own vomit. That is the example given. So then we see sometimes, we see devotees also, that I want to take sannyas, it's true, what's in Shastra, that family life is miserable, now I want to be renounced. It's funny how they always realize it after they get married. They don't really believe it. They think, well, that's true in every case, but my case will be different. I will be special. And they find out that it's true in my case also. So then they become very renounced. I want to take sannyas. But it's the sannyas of a disappointed person, or frustrated. He's not actually frustrated with material life, but he's just in the classic position of the materialist who thinks that, well, this situation isn't very good, so I'll give that up, but I'll try somewhere else. This wife, I didn't like her, but, you know, there is someone, there are plenty of other women in the world, I'm sure I'll find the right one if I try out a few. So this is my thinking, that that's not very nice, I'll try again. Let me, after some time, if the actual renunciation is not strong in the heart, if the actual feeling, the urgency, eagerness to develop the loving relationship with Krishna is not there, then because the living being, he's by nature, he must have some affection. So if he's not developing his affection for Krishna, not developing his enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, then obviously he must again try to develop the relationship of maya. So therefore, Vanashram system, gradually, step by step, one should gradually come to the position of renunciation. Well, one should come to that. We're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is teaching us what is the nature of this material world. It's not some ethereal, mystical knowledge that only very clairvoyant people can see. No, everyone can see. This is real spiritual knowledge that we can realize just by taking this knowledge and looking all around us. We can see it's true. Material life is miserable. This affection, bondage of affection, is simply the cause of suffering in this material world. So this knowledge we are getting, but we have to hear again and again and again, Nityam Bhagavat is daily, hearing the knowledge, so that we can become fixed in that. And from the very beginning, one has to have a submissive attitude. That means that he has to have faith in what is stated in Shastra. Shastra is supposed to be heard submissively. That Arjuna said to Krishna, Sarvam etaditam manye yamam vadasi keshava. Arjuna said to Krishna, I accept everything you say, Krishna. He didn't say, well, that's very interesting, but you know, this Sartre said something else, and Rousseau said something else, and Kant said something else. And, well, Krishna, what do you think about this? Of course, Prabhupada, he did discuss all of these. He said, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? They're all nonsense. They don't know what they're talking about, because they haven't heard from Shastra. They haven't heard from their learned frogs in the well. Among the frogs, one can croak more loudly or more sweetly than another. So in frog society, one frog who can jump, or he has a very long tongue, he can catch the flies at a long distance. He's considered, oh, best of the frogs. Oh, best of the frogly persons. So he's considered a very great person, but after all, a frog is a frog. So without knowledge from Shastra, all knowledge, say Vidya Avividya Jami, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his youth, he was brought up with modern Western education. Of course, he was modern at that time. He thought this is the latest, most wonderful thing now we've been got. It's all out of date. But at that time, they were thinking, this is the cutting edge knowledge that we're getting, learning the English education. But then later on he came to understand that so-called knowledge, it's simply groping in the darkness. You don't know what's going on. Blind leading the blind. So it's that knowledge is not knowledge at all. Just like we see here, this queen of Chitra, the wife of Chitrakin, is giving so many theories, but they're all based on ignorance. Kamavimamsa theory, that there cannot be any God in control. Why? Because if there's a God in control, then surely he would make everything nice for me. You see, my son died. I didn't like it. And I'm the most important person. And if there's any God, his duty is to make me happy. So there can't be any God because I'm miserable. So God's duty is to fulfill my sense gratification. And if he doesn't, then why should we believe in him? Oh God, give me money, give me a good job, give me sense enjoyment. If you don't, I won't believe in you. Like children playing. That if you don't dress the way that we do, we won't let you play with us. Like this. So the childish way of thinking. But one who hears from Shastra submissively means he's ready to accept what is stated there, then he can understand. By being Shastra Chakshusham, seen through the eyes of scripture, he can understand what is the actual fact of this material world and what is beyond this world. Who is Krishna? Who is the source of everything? He can understand all these things. But one who is bound up by the ropes of material affection, then he is in what position? Pashyanapi na pashyati. He sees but he doesn't see. Just like here, they're upset. Their child has died, but they thought that the child would live forever. Everyone is dying. At every moment, so many people, so many living beings are dying. But somehow we're thinking that I will go on living. They're shocked when someone dies. It always expressed shock when someone dies. I was in New York a few years ago when this Mother Teresa died. So I saw the paper and all the big wigs of the world at that time, most of whom also died in the meantime, all the old politicians. I was shocked. Why are you shocked? She was like 90 years old or something. Why should you be shocked? If she'd have gone on living more and more, that should be surprising. Of course she died. Of course she died. Everyone did. Why should you be shocked? Anyway, they don't even write that. It's just, they have their speechwriter write it. It's just a format. Just like in India, they have preset telegrams. They have cheap telegrams. You don't have to think what to say. So, congratulations on your wedding, condolences on the departure of your beloved, and they have set formulae for telegrams. So it's like that. Oh, okay. They have it just like in the paper. They have the obituary ready because they know everyone's going to die. So they have all the famous people. They have their obituary ready because how are they going to get at 1 o'clock in the morning, the person died, they have to have their paper on the stands at 5 o'clock. So what are they going to do? Research all their life that's the time they're at that nightclub. So how are they going to do that? So they have it all ready. The obituaries, they have it all ready. They know they're going to die, but then they express, we are shocked. This is foolishness. And we are not shocked. Devotees, they see through the eye of Shastra. They're not shocked. Even many people that, just like Prabhupada was saying, there will be war, and there will be so much disturbance. Devotees say, what shall we do? Chant Hare Krishna. What do you think we'll do? War or no war? There have been so many where people are afraid they'll look at the astrological chart, there's going to be a war, there's going to be floods, there's going to be a shock. People ask me, do you think there'll be more wars and earthquakes in future? Of course there will be. There have been since the time this world was created, and there will be. Certainly there will be. And if you're caught in the middle of one, well, chant Hare Krishna. And if you're not, then chant Hare Krishna. Either you die in an earthquake, or you die on lying down on your bed, or you die in a battlefield, or someone stabs you, or whatever. You have to die. So chant Hare Krishna. Now this philosophy we're understanding from Srimad Bhagavatam, how the materialistic people, they're so upset at the departure of a loved one. But a devotee, he sees through the eye of Shastra, and he sees, everyone is seeing, Pashanapi na Pashati, they see how everyone is dying, but they don't see that I'm going to die too. And everyone has to pass away. In the great illusion of material life, they're going on throughout their life, increasing the ropes of material affection, not thinking that it will be cut. So a devotee, very, very intelligently, he performs his material duties, but he doesn't cultivate any material relationships. He cultivates relationships with devotees and with Krishna, but not material relationships. The devotee relationship is cultivated on the basis of hearing and chanting together about Krishna and serving Krishna together. That is the relationship that devotees cultivate. Hare Krishna. Time for one question? No questions. Well, I hope there's some this afternoon, because I'm supposed to have 1.5 hours of answering. 2 hours.
2 hours.
So, try and think of some questions. You have a question?
You mentioned that the sannyasi who goes back to the family is considered like someone who eats his own vomit.
Yes, that's the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vantashi. Yeah. That's the technical word, if you want to know.
As Krishna says that you remember me while doing your duty.
Yes, that's true.
So he's got to look after his family as well as...
No, not for sannyasi. For Grihastha, his duty is to go through the illusory emotions of looking after his family, although actually no one can look after their family. Only Krishna can do it. But for a sannyasi, his duty is to forget his family. He has a different duty. Hare Krishna.